Should we kneel for prayer? Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We ask, Lord, that you give us your blessing this Sabbath day as we study your word. Help us to receive from this blessing that which you would want us to carry away from our lesson today. We also ask that you extend a blessing upon our website visitors from various places around the world. Bless them in their efforts to stand for the truth. And we ask that you bless our loved ones that have chosen not to know you or who hasn't even entered into their mind to know you. We still ask, if it your will be done, that they be blessed and that one day they all do know you. Bless our neighbors as well, and bless even those that speak despitefully of us. Bless our enemies. We ask these things and ask that your will be done in each of our lives and in each of the lives of those we've just mentioned. We trust you. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll just read the website visitors as of this Sabbath, July 14th, 2012. And thank the website visitors. I thank you for visiting the website. For any email you send, our email button does work there. For whatever reason you visit, may God give you a blessing from his word. I want to thank then the website visitors from around the United States, the Ukraine, Great Britain, Germany, Japan, the Russian Federation, Canada, France, Australia, Romania, and the Netherlands. Okay, let's turn in our Desire of Ages to where we left off. We left off in Desire of Ages, page 456. Desire of Ages, page 456. And this chapter, like many chapters in the Spirit of Prophecy, has a lot of information concerning Pharisees. And of course, today, as in the days of Christ, there were heathen Laodicean Pharisees in their Sabbath polluting, and there were heathen Babylonian Pharisees in their Sunday keeping. And there was a very small minority who really followed Christ, who were really Christian and not heathen, who were really converted and not unconverted. The real followers of Christ were very small in number that were Sabbath keeping. History is repeating, isn't it? Just as it says in Desire of Ages 258, paragraph 1. Also as it's echoed in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 15. History is repeating. I said that once, words to that effect, describing the Laodicean condition in the days of Christ and also in our day, as it is clear and distinct from the Adventist condition. Heathen Laodiceans are clearly and distinctly not Christian Seventh-day Adventists. And I said those things to a general conference vice president one time. Of course, he wasn't a vice president then. He was an evangelist in the state of Illinois. Probably in our time, at least in the United States, if not other places, the most well-known evangelist. And all of you know who I speak, and not to name names, but his name was Mark Finley. And I said that, Desire of Ages 258, paragraph 1, the first three words at the top of the paragraph, heavenly truth, quote, history is repeating. So as the heathen Laodicean Pharisees were in the days of Christ, so they are now. History is repeating. And you need to make a difference, a distinction, between heathen Laodiceans and Christian Adventists. if your desire is to be in God's holy city rather than in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, you need to make a clear and decided distinction and quit deceiving people. And when I said history is repeating, he looked at me and he said, "For everybody else in the world, but not for us." And that told me of the arrogance. He knew better, but he tried to pass off that ignorance under an air of piety. History's repeating for everybody else, but not for us. And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. It doesn't say history's repeating for everybody else, but not for those who claim to be Seventh-day Adventists. It just says history is repeating." You added the other words. Doesn't say that. You just added the other words. I'll never forget that, because it told me of the arrogance and ignorance of heathen Laodicean Pharisees in our day. And there's a lot about them in this chapter coming from Christ. Christ would not have us deceived by heathen Laodiceans, who are also Pharisees, by the way. He would not have us deceived by heathen Laodicean Pharisees. Deceived and then lost. He wants us to make clear and decided distinctions between Christian Seventh-day Adventists and heathen Laodiceans. And the heathen Laodiceans historically have been the greater part of God's professed people ever since 1876. We know that, according to Four Testimonies 87 in paragraph 2. They've been the greater part, in other words, the majority, long before you and I were even born. Long before anyone on this earth that professes to be a Seventh-day Adventist, no matter how old they are, long before they were ever born. The lukewarm or heathen Laodiceans or heathen Laodicean Pharisees have been in the majority long before any of us were ever born. And God would have us make clear and decided distinctions and follow his teachings. Avoid, flee, go away from, separate from, come ye out and be separate from, just a few of his teachings to Christian Seventh-day Adventists in regard to openly heathen Laodicean Pharisees. He does not want us lost because we choose their company. So what would you do if you were God? You would show what the Pharisees are like and tell you and tell his people, those that are really going to be judged by him and found to be his people, to provide them with information straight from heaven in God's word, in the testimony of Jesus, as to what Pharisees are like, what they're going to do, what they're going to say, how they're going to act, so that the Christian might recognize them. The Christian Adventist might not be deceived by their pretenses, by their show of piety, by their false witness, constant false witness. And this chapter is an example of that. As we continue on in this chapter today, it's an example of Christ teaching us more and more and more about the unconverted condition or the Pharisaical condition, so that his converted people might recognize the ranks of the enemy. And it's out of the ranks of the enemy that we all came, because none of us are born converted. It's out of the ranks of the enemy, by the grace of God, that we joined his army, God's army, through conversion. Remember last week in Desire of Ages, page 456, it told us about the Pharisees, and it said there in the middle of the first paragraph, about three quarters of the way down, I guess, it says, the Pharisees had not put their will on the side of God's will. And then I went around, I went and gave you Faith and Works, page 51, paragraph 1, that tells us the definition of will worship. Will worship simply takes place when a person or when people follow their own will instead of the will of God. They do not put their will on the side of the will of God. If God says something, they oftentimes are directly opposite or antichrist of God's will. And when a person or people do that, when they do not submit their will to God's will, Faith and Works, page 51, paragraph 1, tells us that they are in, quote, will worship, which is also a part of modern counterfeit sanctification. Will worship. They're worshiping their own will. And some people will say, well, how can you possibly do that? I don't pray to my own will. I don't bow down to my own will. I don't kneel to my own will. How could I possibly worship my will? There they're going by the world's definition of worship. To be in any of Satan's forms of false worship, it is not required that those that be in any of his forms of false worship realize that they are in that false worship. Even Satan worship itself, that's defined in 1 Testimonies 2:96, paragraph 2, tells us that Satan is worshipped by deceived mortals. And so is the case with all of his forms of false worship. Men and women do not have to give their permission. They do not even have to know or realize or understand. They don't have to bow down. They don't have to pray. They don't have to be in a church building. None of the common things that this heathen world teaches is worship. None of those things are required, in truth, to be in any form of Satan's false worships. 1 Testimonies 2:96 tells us that, if you read closely, even when it comes to Satan worship, he's worshipped by deceived mortals. They think they're worshiping God. They're deceived. Doesn't matter. Ignorance is no excuse for sin. But it tells us there in 1 Testimonies 2:96 what Satan worship is. Whenever, wherever, however, Satan's arts and devices are received as if they were okay, are received as if they were safe, are received as if they were right, as if they were righteous, are received as from heaven, in other words. Anytime Satan's arts and devices are received as from heaven, Satan worship is taking place. Well, what happens if somebody is deceived and they're loyal to the heathen church of the Laodiceans and they think the heathen church of the Laodiceans is the Christian church of Seventh-day Adventists? Isn't it one of Satan's arts and devices to cloak over his heathenism and make it look Christian? Of course it is. When people are loyal, deceived and loyal, actually disloyal to God, and loyal to the heathen church of the Laodiceans, because it's in the majority, because it's popular, and they speak ill of the Christian Church of Seventh-day Adventists, they get the two confused and backwards in their mind. They are receiving Satan's arts and devices as from heaven, and they are in Satan worship on the spot. It doesn't matter where they're at, doesn't matter what time of the day it is, it doesn't matter that they don't realize it, it doesn't matter that they're not bowing down on their knees, it doesn't matter that they're not praying to something. Anytime Satan's arts and devices, any of them, even one of them, and he's got a lot of arts and devices, doesn't he? Anytime Satan's arts and devices are received as from heaven, or received as if they were okay, safe, righteous, approved by God, Satan receives the worship his satanic majesty covets or desires. Satan worship. Satan's arts and devices received as from heaven equals Satan worship. Nobody has to pray to anything. Nobody has to bow down to anything. Nobody has to even know they're in Satan worship. So it is with all forms of satanic or false worship. All forms of satanic or false worship are entered into by deceived mortals who don't even know or won't accept God's will regarding his teachings on worship. That's why you have so many heathen Laodiceans today, who, by the way, are in the majority in God's house of professed people. So many of them make images of God and say, well, we can do that because we don't worship them. In other words, they can be in idolatry and they think that's okay because they don't worship the idols or gods or images of God that they make. Can anybody be in idolatry and not be in false worship? And friends, idolatry takes place and is happening when people make to themselves images to represent God. Reference, Signs of the Times, May 6, 1880, or One Signs of the Times, page 154, column 2, paragraph 15. The very definition of idolatry is right there. Idolatry. Making to themselves images to represent God. That's what it is, plain and simple. Isn't idolatry one of Satan's arts and devices? Yes, it is. So when they think they can be in idolatry or make images to represent God and try to lie to the people and say, we can do this because we don't worship it, they're lying about the subject of worship. They're in Satan worship because idolatry is one of Satan's arts and devices. And they're receiving it as if it were safe, as if it were okay to make images of God. They're in Satan worship. According to One Signs of the Times, page 154, column 2, paragraph 15, together with One Testimonies, 296, paragraph 2. But they are also in nearly every other kind of false worship that there is, including will worship. God tells us, quote, idolatry, making to themselves images to represent God, that's what idolatry is, according to One Signs of the Times, page 154, column 2, paragraph 15, or Signs of the Times, May 6, 1880. That's what idolatry is. That's one form of idolatry. And common sense, that's why God says, let us reason together. Common sense tells us that idolatry is one of Satan's arts and devices. And when people receive this making images to represent God as if it were safe, when they receive this idolatry as if it were safe, or when they ignore that it's going on all around them in the church that they live in, that they maintain, that they support, when they sit in idolatry in silence and sin, and do not sound the warning and lift up their voice like a trumpet, they are simply putting their own will ahead of God's will. They are not submitting to the will of God. Aren't they then in will worship? According to Faith and Works, page 51, paragraph 1. Yes, of course they are. You see, besides being in Satan worship, they're also in will worship. But they will tell you, oh, we can make images to represent God because we don't worship them. That old, old heathen lie that is hoary with age doesn't change the fact that it is a lie, a murderous lie, because there will be no idolaters in the kingdom of God, Revelations 21 and 22. Rather, they will be without the gate. They will be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone for their arrogance and ignorance, because they followed their own will instead of God's will. Because they chose to be ignorant on the subject of worship. And we've seen it many times. teaching people these things, and then they walk away from it. They act as if they'd never been taught or never knew. And they are even the more guilty than the ones who indeed have never known. But you see, will worship, just like Satan worship, takes place among deceived mortals. So it is with all of the forms of Satan's false worship. And last week we talked a lot about will worship. It says the Pharisees here in Desire of Ages 456, paragraph 1, the Pharisees had not put their will on the side of God's will. So it's obvious they were in will worship. They did not submit to God's will. And that's what will worship is, according to Faith and Works, page 51, paragraph 1. And we talked a lot about that last week. Well, I want to remind us again of what the Pharisees are. Let's read on right here in this paragraph again. It says, the Pharisees had not put their will on the side of God's will. They were not seeking to know the truth. There is one of the chief characteristics of Pharisees. Desire of Ages 456, paragraph 1, toward the bottom of the paragraph. And if you were here, you would underline that word Pharisees, because you need to know these things. God didn't tell us all about the Pharisees just because they were existing in his day and not our day. In our day, there are heathen Laodicean Pharisees, and they profess to be Christians and Seventh-day Adventists. They're lying. And they're also in Sabbath polluting and all the other lawlessness of the Ten Commandments. They're all involved in transgressing all ten. And then there are heathen Babylonian Pharisees in our day who profess to be Christians in some other denomination and who are also in Sunday keeping. Another counterfeit Sabbath. Just like Sabbath polluting is a counterfeit Sabbath, and you never really hear about that today. All you ever hear about in professed Seventh-day Adventist ranks is Sunday keeping and Sabbath keeping. And Sunday keeping is a counterfeit Sabbath, a fraudulent Sabbath. But friends, Sabbath polluting is another counterfeit fraudulent Sabbath. Sunday keeping and Sabbath polluting are both arts and devices of Satan. Both counterfeit Sabbaths straight from the throne of Satan. Both heathen Sabbaths. False Sabbaths. Heathen Laodicean Pharisees, Sabbath polluting with idolatry. Heathen Babylonian Pharisees, Sunday keeping with idolatry. Satan does not care which of the heathen ditches you jump in alongside the narrow way. The narrow way leads to God's holy city. The ditches alongside that way, both heathen, one heathen Laodicean Pharisee, one heathen Babylonian Pharisee, both of them promoting a false Sabbath, one promoting Sabbath polluting, the other promoting Sunday keeping, lead to the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Do not be deceived by their show of piety. So many will find themselves in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone because they're deceived by appearances, by a show. That's not true. A false show of piety. Heathenism is not Christianity and never will be. It is the religion of Satan. Christianity, the religion of God. But here it tells us the Pharisees were not seeking to know the truth. History is repeating. Do you ever wonder why is it that those people who profess to be Seventh-day Adventists don't even care about the truth? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And you go around and you think about these things for a while. It doesn't make any sense, does it? God says Easter is the old trick of Satan. 1888 Great Controversy, 387, paragraph 1. So what is the professed Seventh-day Adventist church that is lying to you? Because they are not Seventh-day Adventists. They are Laodicean, heathen Laodicean. What are they doing keeping Easter? Well, God tells us right here what they're doing. They were not seeking to know the truth. They are heathen Laodicean Pharisees, and they're not seeking to know the truth. That's why you give them the truth that contradicts their godless tradition, their heathen condition, and their heathen tradition. And when you give them the truth that reveals their heathenism, they most especially will reveal to you arrogantly, ignorantly, that they are not seeking to know the truth. But we walk away, don't you walk away from an event like that, kind of scratching your head and saying, what's the matter with you? Out of one corner of your mouth, you claim to be the remnant because you have the testimony of Jesus, and out of the other corner of your mouth, after I tell you, Easter, it is the old trick of Satan. 1888 Great Controversy, 387, paragraph 1. Why do you keep Easter every spring then? And out of the other corner of their mouth, they give you some excuse because they're seeking to evade the truth. They don't seek to know the truth. They seek to evade it, to find some excuse to stay in heathenism, to stay in satanic religion, to stay in Satan worship, and call that God's worship. History is repeating. The heathen Laodicean Pharisees of Christ's day exist now, and they profess to be his people, just as they did in the days of Christ. They do not put their will on the side of God's will. Do you wonder then why they behave the way they behave? Sometimes we can get discouraged by the way they behave, and God gives us in his word exactly how they behave, and your discouragement melts away like the mist in the early morning sun. God gives us these warnings about the Pharisees that we may not be discouraged by their behavior, but rather strengthened from it. We can draw strength from their coldness. And that's why God gives us these, some would say, critical words about the Pharisees. It's not negatively critical. There's two kinds of criticism. Positive criticism and negative or wrong criticism. And when heaven's doing it, when it's in the testimony of Jesus, when it's in God's word, it is at times criticism. But it is not wrongful criticism. It is designed for your redemption, that you know it. And here God would have you know some things about Pharisees. The most dangerous variety are the Laodicean variety within our own ranks. There's another variety that's outside of our ranks, the Babylonian Pharisees, but the Laodicean Pharisees are in our own ranks. Both are heathen. But God gives us the warning. We have more to fear from within than from without. One Selected Message, page 121. But of course, the Laodicean Pharisees try to get you to have your greatest fear from without and keep the fact that Laodiceans are heathen in silence, not known, hidden, kept out of sight. And they behave that way. We had Bible workers one time. I was trying to make them Bible workers. They were even on salary from our home church. And I was testing them. God tests. He expects his followers to test. I was testing them. We had studies available, tapes available, booklets available, even a website that exposes, as God would have it exposed, Laodicean heathenism or heathen Laodiceans. Did these Bible workers promote that as something we should fear? Did they promote heathen Laodiceanism as something that those who are loyal to Christian Seventh-day Adventism should fear? And rightfully so? No, never, not once. Rather, what did they do all the time as they failed the test? They consistently promoted heathen Laodicean publications, websites, tapes, as if we didn't know any better, and they failed the test. They didn't even know they were being tested. They didn't even know they failed the test until I had to tell them regretfully, we can no longer have you as Bible workers, because though their bodies were with us, their spirit was still heathen Laodicean, and that's what they were loyal to. By promoting heathen Laodicean websites and heathen Laodicean teachings, they were pandering to the idea, to the false teaching promoted by heathen Laodiceans, that our greatest fear is from without. It's that Sunday keeping that we should be really afraid of, rather than from within. And according to God's word, that's not true. It's just the opposite. Our greatest fear should be from within rather than from without. One Selected Message, page 122. Our greatest fear should not be the Sunday keeping of heathen Babylonians from without. Our greatest fear should be the Sabbath polluting of heathen Laodiceans from within, and all of the other lawlessness of the nine commandments that they're breaking besides the Sabbath. From within. And why is it? Because they don't put their will on the side of God's will. How can you possibly then keep his commandments? They're not. They're not seeking to know the truth. How can you possibly keep his commandments like their appearance, like their show of appearance, like their show of piety would have you believe? They are not seeking to know the truth. That's what God says about all Pharisees, heathen Laodicean Pharisees and heathen Babylonian Pharisees, those that refuse to repent of their idolatry or heathenism. They will reveal to you that they don't put their will on the side of God's will. You share God's word with them that shows you God's will, that shows them God's will, and right in your face, they figuratively spit on it and reject it. Oftentimes with a smile on their face, a sneer. They are not on the side of God's will, and they are not seeking to know the truth. That's what God says to you, Christian Seventh-day Adventist brother and sister, that you can make clear and decided distinctions between Christian Seventh-day Adventists and heathen Laodiceans and or Pharisees from within, and heathen Babylonian Pharisees from without. Neither put their will on the side of God's will as long as they refuse to repent. Neither are seeking to know the truth. And what else does it say? It goes on here again. But to find some excuse for evading it. Isn't that what you've seen? You give them the truth and they come up with 101 objections. Phony, fraudulent, counterfeit, petty, false witnessing, sophistry, and objections, none of them valid. Well, we can make images to represent God because we don't worship them. There is an example. When God's word tells us that idolatry is making to themselves images to represent God. Clear and simple, Signs of the Times, May 6, 1880. And worship, Satan worship, is receiving his arts and devices as from heaven. That's what Satan worship is, all by itself. It isn't idolatry, one of his arts and devices, one of Satan's arts and devices. Yes, it is. And 1 Testimonies 2:96 tells us, defines for us this definition of Satan worship. Why is it that you never in a lifetime hear the Satan worshiping or heathen church of the Laodiceans that professes to be Christian and Seventh-day Adventist in their fraudulence? Why is it you never hear them discuss 1 Testimonies 2:96 about Satan worship? Or Signs of the Times, May 6, 1880, idolatry is making images to represent God. Why don't they ever discuss that? Because they do not put their will on the side of God's will. Because they are not seeking to know the truth. Because they are finding some excuse to evade it, not to bring it out and make it distinct. Especially those truths like idolatry that reveals their heathenism. And a heathenism is synonymous with at least two things. It's synonymous with idolatry and non-conversion. And Laodiceans are not converted. Get this straight, Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters. Laodiceans who profess to be Seventh-day Adventists are not converted. 7 BC 963. Very simple in the testimony of Jesus. Do you have it or not? The remnant have it. The pretenders, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees who pretend to have the testimony of Jesus, even though they may physically have it, they do not spiritually have it. They are not seeking the truth, remember? And physical possession means nothing unless there is spiritual possession as well. It goes on here and it says, Christ showed that this was why they did not understand his teaching. They did not understand. That's another key characteristic of Pharisees. They do not understand Christ's teaching. They do not understand truth. Especially that truth that reveals their heathenism. Something that they want kept out of sight. You'll never hear from the conference pulpit the reality of heathen Laodiceans taught. And heathen Laodiceans is a reality that God teaches. Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899, says that Laodiceans are heathen. Very clearly. Now, why does God give us all this, some would say, negative things? Are they really negative? No, he doesn't want you following after Pharisees. He doesn't want you supporting them by your presence. He doesn't want you deceived and lost. Is that negative? They would say it's negative. You see, they forever get things Antichrist in their mouth. They are not seeking to know the truth, so what do you think comes out of their mouth? They're not putting their will on the side of God's will, so what do you think comes out of their mouth? They're seeking to evade the truth instead, so what do you think comes out of their mouth? I'll tell you in one word. Heathenism. Every time they open their mouth, every time they behave the way God says heathen Laodiceans behave, if you know what heathenism is, they cannot hide because they behave that way all the time. just like the two Bible workers that came to us from the conference and professed to understand the truth that we were trying to restore, even professed to be promoting it. And I made them Bible workers and I was testing them. And at every turn of the way, every Sabbath, by their mouth, they professed to be heathen Laodiceans, although they never said the words, never, ever. But their behavior and their mouth revealed them. Heathen Laodicean Pharisees cannot hide from Christian Seventh-day Adventists. Their mouth and their behavior shows their allegiance to Satan's religion of heathenism. One of the primary ways that heathen Laodiceans are revealed is that they try to get Christian Seventh-day Adventists to believe that our greatest fear is from without rather than from within. When God tells us in One Selected Message, page 122, that our greatest fear should be from within rather than from without, from within our own professed ranks. And I can tell you in two words what that fear is: heathen Laodiceans in our own professed ranks. So here's some things about Pharisees that God told us, that I'm reminding us about from last week. It's important. And remember what God said about Pharisees even before this? Well, keep your finger here and turn back with me to Desire of Ages, page 280. And notice the third paragraph there. It says, quote, "As it was in the days of Christ, so it is now. The Pharisees do not know their spiritual destitution. To them comes the message, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." What message is that? That is the Laodicean message in Revelation chapter 3, isn't it? That's part of the Laodicean message. So in other words, this testimony of Jesus that is nearly never mentioned, and I would say never mentioned in heathen Laodicean ranks, never mentioned if it is mentioned at all truthfully. In other words, it's teaching as it was in the days of Christ. In other words, history is repeating. Isn't that so? Isn't that what it's saying when it says, as it was in the days of Christ? So it is now. The Pharisees do not know their spiritual destitution. To them comes the message. What kind of message? The Laodicean message. So the Pharisees were Laodicean and vice versa in the days of Christ, and so it is now. History is repeating. As it was in the days of Christ, so it is now. Christian Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters, with all of these things that Christ gives us in His Word, with people professing to be the remnant because they have the testimony of Jesus, and this is what the testimony of Jesus plainly says, do you think you will be free in the day of God because you support and maintain heathen Laodicean Pharisees in our day? Think again. What else have we seen that Christ teaches about Pharisees that's extremely important? Why, the very definition of Phariseeism. In Desire of Ages, page 397, paragraphs 3 and 4. First of all, Christ calls them hypocrites. That's one of the characteristics of Pharisees. Hypocrites. All Pharisees. It says there, ye hypocrites, he said, or Christ said, addressing the wily spies. They're spies too. Spies against the truth. Well did Elias prophesy of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. That's God's definition of Pharisees right there, part of it. Do we wonder why then, when we give them the truth that exposes their historical and heathen Laodiceanism that is being passed off as Christian Seventh-day Adventism in these last days, do we wonder why they insult the truth and reject it, the greater part of them? No. They do just exactly like God says. These people draw nigh unto God with their mouth, and they honor God with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. And it goes on, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There's another form of satanic or false worship they're involved in. Vain worship. And what does the word vain mean? It means self. They're in self or vain worship. According to Matthew 7, or according to Matthew 15, verse 7, 8, and 9. Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. Vain worship is therefore defined as simply this, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's it. That's what vain worship is. That's what self or vain worship is. And that's what Pharisees do. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men. They teach people all about the Sabbath, but never about Sabbath polluting with idols. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. They never teach that because that's what they're doing. They teach people that it is not idolatry to make images to represent God. But that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says it is idolatry, a transgression of God's first and second commandments, to make images to represent God. Signs of the Times, May 6, 1880. You see, when they open their mouth, heathenism comes out. They're in vain worship, they're in will worship, they're in Satan worship, and yet they say, well, we can do this and we can do that because we don't worship it. Brothers and sisters, when they open their mouth a lie, heathenism comes out. Any of Satan's arts and devices are a part of heathenism, and that's what comes out of their mouth. And it goes on here, and it says, in Desire of Ages 397, paragraph 3, it says, the words of Christ were an arraignment of the whole system of Phariseeism. He declared that by placing their requirements above the divine precepts, the rabbis were setting themselves above God. And Desire of Ages, page 78, tells us that another word for rabbis is doctors. In other words, our modern day doctors of divinity and doctors of theology are modern day rabbis. Modern day rabbis, spiritually speaking. And here we see the classical definition, then, of Phariseeism. They claim to be near to God with their mouth. They claim to honor Him with their lips, but their heart is far from God. They're in vain worship because they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. Even when it comes to the Sabbath, They never teach the truth regarding Sabbath polluting with idols or gods or images that are made to represent God. They never teach Ezekiel 20, 15, and 16, and Signs of the Times, May 6, 1880, or One Signs of the Times, page 154, column 2, paragraph 15. They have to hunt and peck through the Word of God to avoid His teachings regarding the false worships that they are in, to avoid His teachings regarding idolatry or heathenism. They have to hunt and peck through the Word of God like a pack of crows as they seek to evade the truth. What do they do? Christ Himself says they place their requirements above the divine precepts. They set themselves above God. In other words, so what are they? What is it when someone sets themselves above God? What commandment are they breaking first, right off the bat? The first commandment. They're making themselves God. And that's the characteristic of all heathen Laodicean Pharisees. As it was in the days of Christ, so it is now. They set their requirements above the divine precepts. That's what they do. And in so doing that, they set themselves above God. They make themselves gods unto the people. Anyone who can be deceived by their heathen Laodiceanism is falling at their feet and spiritually worshiping them as gods. Notice the next paragraph as it continues on with an inspired definition of Phariseeism. The deputies from Jerusalem were filled with rage when the truth confronts them. They are filled with rage, especially when that truth contradicts their false witness of heathen Laodiceanism. Again, it says, the deputies from Jerusalem were filled with rage. They could not accuse Christ as a violator of the law given from Sinai, for He spoke as its defender against their traditions. Notice then, do they place their traditions above God's Ten Commandments, above God's law? Yes, of course they do. That's why when you tell them, Easter, it is the old trick of Satan, end quote, 1888 Great Controversy, 387, paragraph 1. Why, the very next chance they'll go celebrate Easter in a heathen church of the Laodiceans. And they'll be guilty before God of Satan worship when they do it. Because Easter is obviously one of Satan's arts and devices that is being received as if it were safe, as if it were okay, as if it were righteous, as if it were from heaven. And thus, Easter keeping is Satan worship. 1888 Great Controversy, 387, paragraph 1. One Testimonies, 296, paragraph 2. Very easy. Why don't they ever teach it? Because it speaks against their tradition, their classical heathen Laodicean tradition of keeping the heathen festival of Easter. They place their traditions above God's law. Is it any wonder then you see them behave the way they behave? Sometimes I'm actually confused by the way they behave. I think, how can you possibly reject such truth that is so simple? Sabbath polluting with idols, and an idol is any image that you make to represent God. And you're Sabbath polluting. How can you possibly reject that? How can you reject God's teaching regarding vain worship, Satan worship, will worship, and claim to know anything about worship when you say we can make images to represent God because we don't worship them? Sophistry, nonsense. They're in vain worship, Satan worship, will worship when they do such things. They're putting their traditions, and it is part of their heathen tradition to make images to represent God. They're putting their tradition above God's law, while at the same time, they profess to be keeping it. That's what Pharisees always do. Are we to be confused, downhearted, discouraged by their behavior? No. Not if we keep in our mind and our heart what God would have us know about Pharisees. That's why he's taught these positive things for Christian Seventh-day Adventists, so that they might be in his kingdom because they're making clear and decided distinctions. Vocally, in print, they're standing for Christian Seventh-day Adventism against heathen Laodiceanism, be the cost whatever it may. They're following Christ instead of Satan. Notice then what else it says about Phariseeism in its definition. The great precepts of the law which he had presented appeared in striking contrast to the petty rules that men had devised. Here's an example of one of their petty rules. We can make images to represent God because we don't worship them. That's one of their petty rules today. That's what God has told us about Pharisees and Phariseeism. Historically, Laodiceans from the days of Christ have been Pharisees. And as it was in the days of Christ, so it is now. Notice we continue on in our lesson from Desire of Ages, page 456. Notice what it said again. It said, Christ showed that this was why the Pharisees did not understand his teachings, because they don't put their will on the side of his will, because they're not seeking to know the truth, and because they're finding some excuse to evade it. That's what they do. And then what does God sum it all up and say? Christ showed this is why Pharisees, this is why they did not understand his teachings. This is why they historically do not understand Christ's teachings. You know, I said to a professing Seventh-day Adventist minister one time who had a radio show in Arizona, and I hope you're listening, my friend, he wasn't and he isn't a Christian Seventh-day Adventist. He's a heathen Laodicean on the side of Satan. And I said to him, you know, God tells us that Laodiceans dishonor God far more than the avowed unbeliever. 7 B.C. 970, column 1, paragraph 7, or letter 121, dated 1903. Laodiceans dishonor God far more than the avowed unbeliever. Combine that wisdom from heaven with another wisdom from heaven, quote, to make an image of God dishonors him. 4 Bible Commentary, page 1145, column 1, paragraph 7. To make an image of God dishonors him. Isn't that what you approve of? I said, Pastor. You approve of making images to represent God. But the Word of God says to make an image of God dishonors him. The Word of God says the lukewarm, the Laodiceans dishonor God far more than the avowed unbeliever. And you know what he said to me? When I said to make an image of God dishonors him. 4 Bible Commentary, 1145, column 1, paragraph 7. He said, I don't understand. I don't understand. Why didn't he understand? Because he wasn't putting his will on the side of God's will. Because he was not seeking to know the truth. Because he was finding some way to evade the truth. I don't understand, he said. To make an image of God dishonors him. I said, read my lips. It's just a few words. To make an image of God dishonors him, period. 8 words from heaven. And yet you're making images to represent God. You think that's okay. And he said, I don't understand. He was doing everything God said heathen Laodicean Pharisees would do. I don't understand, he said. Well, what else does God tell us about them? Since Laodicean Pharisees, heathen Laodicean Pharisees, historically do not understand Christ's teaching, especially when it reveals their heathen Laodiceanism. Well, how about Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 and 10? Let me share with you what it says there. Verse 4, Daniel 12. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And verse 10, Daniel 12, verse 10. So the book of Daniel is for the time of the end. And verse 10 says of Daniel 12, many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. Those that do not understand Christ's teachings are also by definition in the last days, God says, the wicked. Do you want to follow the wicked? Do you want to go to the wicked's church worship service as they pollute God's Sabbath with their idolatry? Do you want to support the wicked by your presence, by your prayers, that they be unconditionally blessed as God's people? The wicked are not God's people in truth. The wicked will profess to be God's people, but in truth, they are not God's people. Do you want to be on the side of the wicked? Well, then stay with the Sabbath polluting, openly idolatrous, openly heathen Laodicean Pharisees and the heathen church of the Laodiceans in these last days. And you will be on the side of the wicked. Because they do not understand Christ's teachings, Christ says, Desire of Ages 456, paragraph 1. And Christ tells us why they don't understand his teachings. 3 reasons they do not put their will on the side of God's will. They do not seek to know the truth, but they seek, the third, they seek a way of evading the truth. And this is why they do not understand Christ's teachings. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 and 10, for these last days tells us about the wicked. They do not understand the truth. Do you want to be on the side of Laodiceans or do you want to be on the side of Adventists? That is the test for these last days for everyone professing to be a Seventh-day Adventist. History shows that the greater part, the majority, will choose to be on the side of the wicked, on Satan's side of heathen Laodiceanism. It need not be so. Continuing on, just briefly, the next paragraph for the day, then, we cover the next paragraph. Desire of Ages 456, paragraph 2, it says, he, meaning Christ, now gave a test by which the true teacher might be distinguished from the deceiver. In other words, a test by which the Christian Seventh-day Adventist, the true teacher, might be distinguished from the deceiver, the heathen Laodicean, Pharisee. Can you distinguish between a Christian Seventh-day Adventist and a heathen Laodicean, Pharisee? Christ gives us the test right here. Another test. Are you testing? When people claim to be your brother and sister, they claim to be Christian Seventh-day Adventists. They claim to be Christian. They claim to be Seventh-day Adventists. Are you testing? If you're a follower of Christ, you're testing. He tested. And again it says, he now gave a test by which the true teacher might be distinguished from the deceiver. He that speaketh from himself seeketh his own glory. In other words, his own honor. Glory and honor are synonymous. Christ says, this is how we know the difference between a Christian Seventh-day Adventist, in other words, a true teacher, and a heathen Laodicean, a deceiver. He that speaketh from himself seeketh his own glory. The heathen Laodicean seeks his own glory, his own honor, as a deceiver, in other words. But he that seeketh the glory, in other words, the honor, the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no righteousness is in him. The same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. John 7, verse 18, Revised Version. So here's, God's not done yet, but here God is showing us, according to the context, how to understand the difference, one of the ways anyway, a test by which you may know the difference between a Christian Seventh-day Adventist, a true teacher, and a heathen Laodicean, Pharisee, a deceiver. The heathen Laodicean, Pharisee, seeks his own glory or honor, even ahead of the glory of God. He is not in any way jealous for the honor or glory of God. That's why the quotation, quote, to make an image of God dishonors him, in quote, 4BC 1145, column 1, paragraph 7, they don't care. You read that to them, and they will just either say nothing and just blink at you, or they will say, I don't understand. The quote has done its job. It's revealed to you when they just sit there and blink at you and do nothing or say nothing. Or when they say, I don't understand. That quote has revealed to you that you are dealing with an impenitent heathen Laodicean, one of Satan's people, who professes to be Christian and Seventh-day Adventist and is fraudulent. That's what God says Laodiceans, heathen Laodiceans are. They are fraudulent. Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899, or Four Signs of the Times, page 50, column 1, paragraph 4. They are fraudulent. They are not genuine. They seek their own honor, and they do not care if in doing so they dishonor God. They do not care at all. That's what they do. They seek their own honor, and at the same time, they dishonor God. They do what is ever necessary to seek their own honor, and at the same time, they do that which dishonors God right in your face. That's what they do. And they approve of the same. And God goes on here and he says, he that seeketh his own glory, in other words, his own honor, is speaking only from himself. The spirit of self-seeking betrays its origin. But Christ was seeking the glory of God. He spoke the words of God. This was the evidence of his authority. as a teacher of the truth. Therefore, the true teacher, the Christian Seventh-day Adventist, seeks the glory of God and speaks against all that dishonors God's glory or honor. And that's why they pay heed when heaven says, quote, to make an image of God dishonors him, end quote. They take heed. And they do not support those that make images to represent God because that dishonors God. But the heathen Laodicean, they seek their own glory, and at the same time, they do whatever they want to do that dishonors God. They do not care. And when you point this out to them, they blink at you, or they say, I don't understand. Or I don't like it that you're speaking against my church. And what church is that? It's the heathen church of the Laodiceans, in clear and wicked distinction from the Christian church of Seventh-day Adventists. And notice again, they have a spirit of self-seeking. They're not Christ-seeking, they're self-seeking. That is their spirit. They speak their own words, the commandments of men. They do not speak the words of God, especially those words of God that reveals their heathen Laodicean Phariseeism. That's how God says you can test and know the difference between a true teacher, a Christian Seventh-day Adventist, a man of God, a man or woman of God. And you can know the distinction, the clear and decided distinction between them and the deceiver, the heathen Laodicean Pharisee, a man or woman of Satan. One speaks their own words for their own honor and glory as they follow their own will instead of the will of God. The deceiver, the heathen Laodicean Pharisee. The other speaks the word of God, the true teacher, the Christian Seventh-day Adventist. Let's stop for our worship for today. We can go on, we will go on next week, and you'll see how God keeps on teaching us about the Pharisees. He does not want you, Christian Seventh-day Adventist brother or sister, to be lost and murdered by the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day, who for many generations have and are controlling the professed Seventh-day Adventist church in all of its conference ranks in these last days. We'll continue on in Desire of Ages, page 456, paragraph 3, next week. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins that you give us. We ask that you forgive us for our sins of omission, commission, and ignorance. We thank you so much for your word of God that encourages us and helps us understand the people we encounter and know the difference between the Christianity or the heathenism that they espouse. We consider the mountains that we have to cross. Just over the mountains is our promised land, the holy city. And we ask that you do whatever is necessary in our lives. That's a big trust item, that you do whatever is necessary in our lives. That we hear the words from you one day, enter in, my good and faithful servant, and that we receive passport through the gates of your holy city. We ask that your will be done in these regards. May your will be done for us, for our loved ones, for our loved ones who do not accept Christ just now, for our friends, our neighbors, and for those who speak despitefully of us, for those who are your enemies and our enemies. May your will be done, that each of us can cross over the mountains that have been thrown in our pathway. We ask that you give us victory over the sin in our life, the mountain that is known as sin. We ask for your Holy Spirit, your power, that we might continue to be overcomers. You have given us each victories in the past. We can look in the past and see how you've changed us. And we ask for this sanctification to continue on. Help us be among the faithful few who keep God's commandments and faith of Jesus too. Just over the mountains, Lord, you promise that there are gates ajar through which your glory is streaming, and there is splendor shining off the streets of gold. Help us remember and put things in proper perspective then. So many people in this earth, one way or another, fall down for the sin that is a mountain in their life because of gold. Help us to put things into perspective and realize that gold is just pavement in your holy city. We pray for your Spirit and power that just over the mountains we may reach the hope of your promised land. Do whatever is necessary for those for whom we prayed, ourselves, our friends, our enemies, our neighbors, our loved ones in Christ, and our loved ones who are not in Christ. We conclude our prayer with trust and say, may your will be done to help us over the mountains. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank everybody for coming to worship today. Thank the website visitors for visiting. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Do we ever think what that means? It means that when he regards us, he regards us being in harmony with him and approval. Indeed, then, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I pray in Jesus' name that you continue to enter into the peace afforded by the Sabbath. Amen. Thank you all for coming to Sabbath today. Thank you for your testimonies.